Just grateful that we can be here today and kind of have a youth-themed Sunday with a taco feed and talking to Nate. And we do pray that this will be a real helpful time as the congregation gets to peer into the process where they see how Nate has really grown and developed this past year. Just pray that this time will be honoring to you and edifying to the body. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Well, it was about a year ago, and you know, Alvin accepted a call to be the pastor of North Lake Church, and so we did some reshuffling with our staff, and what we proposed and what we said was we were going to do a one-year internship, paid internship with Nate, where he would be the youth director, and part of that was, we'll just say it was probationary, right? Because you were, you know, prior to that, what were you doing?
Yeah, I was building fence for yeah. a living with my brother-in-law, so.
Yes.
I was working in the youth group. I had been working
yeah.
since 2016 with doing lay ministry within the youth group, but not being the one in charge.
Yeah. So it was a transition from the fields to the tents,
yeah.
right? And from lay ministry to full-time ministry. And so we kind of thought it would be best to really take a year to really invest and develop, and then we'd say we'd get back to you in about a year, and we have decided that we want to call Nate to be our youth pastor. So, youth director no more. Not until May 1st, though. Not until May 1st. So still call him Director Nate.
Still make all the jokes until May 1st.
That's right. So I thought we could, what we'd do is just kind of describe the internship. So what did that entail, just for people who haven't heard?
I kept office hours throughout most of the week, so I was in the office through Monday through Thursday, sometimes on Friday. And first, what that entails, I was in contact a lot with the elders yeah. and with Pastor Dave.
Yeah.
I unashamedly bursted into Dave's office,
yes.
you know, 5 to 6 times a day.
Nate,
and
do you have a minute, Fitz?
So yeah, so if you notice, like, if you're like, man, Dave just didn't seem like he was quite as prepared for his sermon today. It was my fault. It's because I kept nagging and talking to him all the time.
Yes,
so, but
yes, that was part of your internship.
Yeah.
You know, where being the fall guy.
That's right.
So you've learned that well.
That's right.
So you got my dry cleaning, detailed my cars.
Yeah, yeah.
What else did you do?
Oh.
And buying gifts for my wife, but that was also very important.
I wrote some anniversary cards,
yeah.
some things like that. So, no. I met with the elders. John was a regular in my office a lot. We did a lot of talking about ministry and what that would look like. So John was a huge support, has been a huge support to me this year. I would teach on a regular basis. So that what that looked like was Sunday morning for the Sunday school class. I taught the Sunday school class, and then also on Wednesday nights for our regular youth group meeting, I would teach that as well. So I'd be teaching 2 times a week. Mm-hmm. And then any counseling cases that the elders wanted me to take and would send my way, I would take those as well, or discipleship. Whichever they would be. And then, obviously, with running a ministry and especially working with volunteers, there's a lot of planning and logistics that would go along with that. And so mm-hmm. there's just a lot of planning and communicating, lots of communicating, I found out, that goes
yes.
along with the job. And also another thing the elders wanted me to do was to pursue some higher education. So I took some seminary classes this last year as well.
Yeah, what classes, where did you go? Yes, what classes did you take, and what are you hoping to
yeah.
accomplish eventually?
So I've had this desire to become more equipped as a counselor, and more specifically a biblical counselor.
Yeah.
And that probably started when we came to this church and realized the value of just a personal ministry
yeah.
To someone. And so it kind of started with doing some of the training that the church has been provided. There was a counseling conference and some other training. And so it was just kind of a natural fit as I was just thinking of, like, what to do for some more education to be equipped as a counselor. And so I am very early, mm-hmm. but currently my goal is to get a master's degree in biblical counseling from Midwestern Seminary in Kansas City. So that's kind of my goal, and that's what I'm working
yeah,
towards.
Yeah, why Midwestern?
Well, there's one of my goals is that I'd like to be a certified biblical counselor, and the organization that is really solid that really our church aligns with in many ways is called the Association for Certified Biblical Counselors. Mm-hmm. And they moved their headquarters to Kansas City, and they're based out of Midwestern Seminary. So yeah. it was kind of a no-brainer. Like, if you want to grow and mm-hmm. be trained as a counselor, that's kind of the place to go to. And they've got an online program. And so since I can't really be driving back and forth for classes, yeah. it seemed to be the easiest fit and to work out the best. So, and I've really enjoyed the classes.
Yeah, what classes did you take?
So I've taken two classes so far. I took one each semester. The first class I took was, it was called Biblical Counseling in the Local Church, and it was just basically an introductory class. I didn't really know what it was because I didn't know what Canva was or anything. So I'm sure I could have read, like, what it is, but I just signed up for it because I had to. I was like, okay, I'll take the class. And really, just basic working through, like, what's a philosophy of biblical counseling? What does biblical counseling look like? How do we use the scriptures to help someone? And mm-hmm. really the assignments were geared around forming and building a counseling center. And I was kind of confused mm-hmm. about that because I was like, that seems like something I should be thinking about, like, at the end of the program, not at the very yeah. beginning. But what I realized through it was that they put the assignments all around the fact that if you're working through what this would look like in a counseling center, then you have to think through a philosophy of biblical counseling. Yeah. And that's really what it was geared towards. Yeah. And since we're starting a counseling center, it was kind of fun to be thinking, like, wow, maybe some of these assignments could be helpful with the counseling center as well. So I really yeah. enjoyed it, even though I wasn't quite sure what it was when I first started. And then the second class I just took was marriage and family counseling.
Yeah.
And that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
It was a lot of reading and writing about marriage and family problems, and I really enjoyed getting to read a lot of books that have been on my shelf and mm-hmm. haven't been read all the way, and I was forced to read them, so it was good for that.
Yeah, I'd say that's been surprisingly useful, because when you're a youth ministry pastor, I mean, there's a lot of issues,
like yeah.
relationship with parents, pornography, even sometimes talking to the parents.
Yeah, it's really a family ministry yeah. in a lot of ways. You work with the parents, you work with the students. Mm-hmm. And so part of being in youth ministry is to be as available as you can mm-hmm. to as many people as you can in the ministry. And so that includes, yeah, like you said, parents and maybe even younger kids that aren't in the youth ministry yet, but if there's problems there as well.
Yeah, so when you kind of look at this internship overall, I mean, what were some of the big lessons that you learned? Like, or maybe if you were to kind of go back in time and advise Nate from a year ago, you'd say, Nate, keep this in mind.
Well, I realized that I've known this about myself, but it became more evident this last year, is that I tend to be a man pleaser.
Yeah.
I really like people to like me. Yeah. I want people to like me.
Yeah.
And I
is that a problem?
Yeah, it's kind of a problem.
Okay.
It can be a problem.
Okay.
Especially when you're in leadership, it can be a problem.
Okay. So when I say you want me to love you, right? And then I ask you to do something, that doesn't really help.
Yeah. Right. It doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't help.
Okay.
So I realized that about myself. And so when that becomes a challenge, then when you occasionally have to have a difficult conversation with somebody or yeah. Work with somebody that's going to be a challenge to work with, and so I've learned that the measure of success, this is something you've had to remind me of, is mm-hmm. the measure of success is not how every person responds every time.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't respond well, and
yeah.
it's tough. I can honestly say I've lost more sleep this last year than, I don't know, since my first child being born. Like, it's been
yeah.
a stressful year. And part of that is realizing that it's part of my own sin and
yeah.
Just really stressing over that I'm going to have a hard conversation with someone, and they may not like me afterwards.
Yeah.
And that's no fun. And so yeah. that's probably been a big lesson that I've had to learn this last year.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things about full-time ministry is this full-time consumption.
Right.
Any big surprises that kind of stood out? Things that surprised you?
Well, one question I got a lot this last year is, you know, what's it been like going from working a construction, labor-intensive job,
yeah,
and working in a majority not labor-intensive physically, mm-hmm, and working in an office.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what's been assumed.
Finger cramping is probably a major thing.
Man, the struggle is real.
It is.
The struggle is real. The blue light, stress.
Oh,
it's tough.
I feel you, brother.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard. And so, people just asked me that a lot early on, so I just kind of assumed that would be a surprise and a shock, and it really hasn't been. But what the shock has been is just being in charge. And,
yeah.
And so that's been a surprise, just like, oh, yeah, all the questions that I can't just pass the buck on, I'm like, I don't know, ask Alvin. You know what?
Yeah.
Alvin's not here. It's me that has to
answer for my problem.
Right. And so that's been... Yeah. That was a surprise. Something when I worked for David and Jeremiah, I didn't have to make very many daily decisions. They were the ones that were planning and bidding, and I just woke up and did what I was told, hopefully, and worked, right? And so this, I have to be thinking ahead and planning and strategizing. And so I realized that my muscles were a little atrophied in that area.
Yeah.
I needed to beef up a little bit. And so that was a surprise.
Yeah. Okay. Any other surprises?
I was shocked by how much communication is involved with being in charge of a ministry, and like how stressful that can be, you know, because you send a text message, you're like, whatever, if the spelling's right, blah, blah, blah. They'll read between the lines. Well, you can't quite do that. You can't quite do that when you're sending emails to parents or things like that, and you want to be taken seriously. Like, and so communication is important. So I realized, like, wow, there's a lot of time that gets spent over just how do I say this the best way possible.
Yep.
So that was a surprise.
Yep.
I didn't ever realize that until I was in it myself.
Yeah. So. And I think one thing I remember when I kind of started out is like you're airdropped, and it's just run the ministry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we obviously didn't do that. In fact, I'm not sure if you guys saw this or not, but we have a job description for Nate. And we decided to go with associate pastor of youth ministries as opposed to student ministries,
right,
because we don't want to give the idea that he's going to be running college. But we expanded your role a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So, it sounds like, if I remember right from what I was reading, that I'm going to be preaching more regularly, so 4 times a year, and then I'll also have some involvement with the music groups, leading a music group.
And we want to be very clear, you're not the music pastor.
No, I'm not Tyson. I cannot do what Tyson did.
Yes.
Please don't equate those two things.
Yeah. But we thought it would be good to have somebody on staff who's working with the music, because it's good to have kind of like the office liaison and everything. So that was kind of I think that was a surprise.
Yeah.
That part kind of grew.
Yeah. Right? And I look forward to that. I like music. I like playing music. And I'm looking forward to getting to know the music groups and working with them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another surprise that was probably this, like, those other things are kind of negative maybe, but a positive surprise is I was shocked by the amount of staff involvement that I got this year. That was incredible. Mm-hmm. COVID kind of took some of our volunteers out the last couple years, and then we had other staff volunteers that just had to move on to other things. And so the last year or two that Alvin was here, it was kind of light on help, and so we didn't have. And then when Alvin and Jenny left, it was kind of just Allison and I and one or two others. I think Matt and Noah were the other ones who were left over. And so it was kind of like, wow, I don't know what's going to happen this year for volunteers. But we asked some people, and they stepped in, and it's been incredible. We've got about 10 staff volunteers, and I've never worked with a group of people that have been so committed and have taken ownership so quickly in the ministry. Like, I don't have to hold their hand.
Yeah.
I don't have to, you know, worry if they're going to show up or not. They don't see it coming on Wednesday nights and Monday nights as, you know, just doing their duty for the Lord.
That's right.
Just
youth martyrs.
Yeah, just, all right, just grit and bear these next 2 hours, and then I can
go home.
This
all-nighter is for you, Jesus.
Yeah, no, they, like, look forward to it, and they want to be there with the students. And so I've never experienced that with so many people at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's been really cool to see.
I think one thing you mentioned you were surprised by is you actually like preaching.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Well, maybe you can. It's because I have such a respect for preachers and for what they do. Yeah. I knew coming to this job I was going to have to preach. That's like, I mean, that's part of the job. But, and I like teaching. I like being in a classroom and I like interacting with the class. But just like me talking for 45 minutes didn't seem seem that pleasant.
Remember we did that how to teach class?
Well, yeah.
And so it kind of walked you through the process. And then I remember asking if you were interested in doing community meditation. Do you remember what you told me?
Nope, no, I don't remember.
You came up to me afterwards and said, you know, Pastor Dave, I've been praying about it, and, you know, there's just so many people here. I just don't know if I can do it, so I'm going to have to say no. And I told you in response, well, that's too bad because I already signed you up.
Yeah. So I was like, well, why did you send me the email and ask me in the first place? It was like, hey,
it's
Nate,
the Philemon technique, right?
Yeah. It's just like, okay, so when he asked me, he's not asking me, he's telling me. And so it's a
I remember we had to get that straight out. Are you asking me to do something or telling me to do something?
Yeah,
which is something my kids asked me too.
That was something we had to learn early. Like, I had to ask.
I want you to feel empowered, but you know.
Yeah. It's like, what's the line that I have here for pushback?
That's
like, what can I push back on? And so
So all that to say, so you were like, you didn't even want to do communion meditation.
No, I didn't.
And now you're finding that you love preaching. So what? Tell me about that journey.
I enjoy, the last few times I've really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the preparation. I agonize over, like, the actual finished product. It's very stressful. And so for that reason, I've always kind of feared it because I knew that that's an agonizing part.
Yeah.
But then what I was shocked about is, like, once I'm up there and preaching, I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's really fun. So it's like working myself to actually standing right there, and then it's good.
Yeah.
Well, not the sermon, I don't know, but like I'm good once I'm
up
there.
Yeah, you feel great.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel great. And just go for it. So that was kind of a surprise. I wasn't anticipating enjoying the actual preaching part like I have. So.
And I noticed that you did Old Testament both times.
Yeah, yeah. So if you ask me to preach, so then I get to preach what I want. So then
you're drawn to the Old Testament.
Yeah, I really like the Old Testament, specifically Old Testament narrative. I love Old Testament. And so, like, epistles and Pauline epistles, that, like, obviously so good, so much theology. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoy seeing what that theology looks like when it's acted out in someone's life. And the Old Testament gives us that picture. And so it's connecting theology to an actual person, and then how God uses that person. And so I think that's awesome. And so I get jazzed when I read the Old Testament and get fired up. So if you ask me to do New Testament, I'll do New Testament. But if you just keep leaving it open, I'll probably keep finding some spots in the Old Testament.
I will note that. So, how do you feel about Hebrews?
Yeah, that's right.
I'll make you preach out of Revelation if you're.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah, just nice and easy.
So. Just where would you like to improve?
Well, there's like the cliche answers, which is like, I'd like to be a better preacher, a better teacher, a better counselor. Like,
I can be more like Jesus.
Be more like Jesus. Yeah. Just have more wisdom. I would just like to have more wisdom. You know, like, and those are all true. Like, I do need to grow as a teacher. I do need to grow as a counselor.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've learned from taking those classes. Is like,
yeah,
like, there's a lot I don't know. I need to grow in this area. But if I'm just like being practical. Getting back to one of the surprises, just like planning and logistics and time management, those are all things that I think I've known have been weaknesses of mine and areas that you've helped me with, but then areas I'd still like to grow in. I'm a pretty low-tech person, and that was always something that Alvin and I always joked around with each other, is I would hand him a paper and he would go, you know, like that kind of thing. And so, like, I don't
want
that.
You'd ask, is there a floppy disk?
And like seriously, like I don't understand Microsoft. I'm still trying to get my head around Google Drive. I'm still learning Canva, and so I just
I'm
like,
not your teacher, by the way.
Yeah,
so.
It's just like I don't so like just technology and functioning in an office. I'd like to get better at. I'd like to get better at strategizing and planning the year out and being that much better equipped for the staff and be able to equip them for the year, things like that. So I'd like to grow in leadership in that way.
All right. So what do you really love about your job?
Well, I love getting to study God's word on a daily basis. I think that's a wonderful thing. I think MacArthur, one time I heard MacArthur say, and I don't know if I really believe this, but I'll choose to believe it since he said it. He said, I think the reason God made me a pastor was to force me to be in the word every day. You know, and that's one benefit that I really love is that it forces me to be in the word every day.
Yeah.
And that's just an awesome benefit that I get to have from this job. I really like, I'm a real relational person, so I like talking and making friends. And so I really like meeting people and getting to know them, getting involved in their lives as best as I can. And but what's what? And so doing that, I really love it when, like, when you are working with somebody and you're teaching them the Word of God, and like they get it, and then they respond to what the Word of God says. Like, that's awesome. And so I love when that happens, even if it's something small. You know, I was talking with a student a while back, and it was just kind of a minor thing, but it was something I noticed in them, and I was just talking with them about it, and they're kind of, we were working through it, and they're kind of making some excuses, and I said, well, this is what God's word says, and we just kind of kept going back to it. We got down to some of the heart issues, what was going on, and then he got it, and he was like, oh, okay, and he's been walking in obedience since then. It was like, that's awesome. That's so cool. So even small things, just God's word says it, I'm going to do it. Like, that's awesome getting to connect people to that sometimes. So I really love it when the Lord uses me that way.
So this has been a big transition for you.
Yeah.
But also for Allison.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So just tell us about maybe not, does he have permission to speak for you, Ellie? I guess he does.
I didn't tell her about if I would say anything or not last night, because I knew she'd be worried about it, so I didn't say anything to her.
Yeah, but, I mean, how does Allison feel about it? What have been some maybe some adjustments for her?
Yeah, Allison has been all in, 100%. I think even before I was, like, when we were talking a year ago and I was thinking through this, like, I think she was all in before I was even. And so she's very committed to what we're doing, and I appreciate that. She loves the girls in the youth ministry. She especially loves the junior high girls, and she just loves talking with those gals, even if it's awkward. She likes being in those awkward conversations with them. She loves the staff ladies and getting to show hospitality and love on them any way she can. And so she loves doing what we're doing, and I really appreciate that. But she's had to, she's really had to make sacrifices this year. We live a long ways away, and because this job is not always set hours, it fluctuates based on what's happening. And so there's nights where I'm not home for supper. There's mornings where I'm up and gone before anyone's up for breakfast or anything like that. And so really, she's had to function as a single parent in a lot of ways. We take separate cars to church because I'm here early.
Yeah.
So she gets the kids ready all by themselves, herself.
And you have how many kids?
I've got five kids.
Age range?
8, 9 to 1 year old.
Yeah.
And she Wednesday night, she comes in by herself, brings the kids in. I stay in town all evening on Wednesday nights. So she gets them ready for Adventure Club and brings them in.
Yeah.
And so she's had to make considerable sacrifices. But she knows it's worth it.
Yeah.
And so she's does it anyway. And so I'm super proud of her.
Yeah.
And I'm really thankful for her.
Yeah. Beck and I had lunch last week, and we just had a great time, and
just
reassured by just your growth as a couple, and just both of you love ministry.
Yeah.
So she's willingly giving you up to that.
And she's giving up parts of the ministry as well, because she loves doing, being with the students as much as I do.
Yeah.
But because our kids are young, and because I'm not home as much, they are demanding more of her time.
Yeah.
And so she has to say no to a lot of opportunities and give those opportunities to other staff ladies and not take those herself, even though she really wants to.
Yeah.
And have to choose to love on our kids and not be bitter towards our kids or bitter towards me. And that's a hard thing to do. at times. And so she's really, not perfectly, but handled that well.
Yeah.
And that's a very difficult place to be in.
Yeah. No, we think it's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to pivot a little bit. And I think it'd be good to just talk about youth ministry in general. This is actually a very big Sunday for us, right?
Yeah.
What's happening after church?
Today is Taco Feed for the first time in 3 years. So COVID tried to take it from us.
Yep. But and we're taking it back.
We're taking it back.
We're taking it back.
Taking it back.
Hey, who has COVID. Never been to a Taco Feed, by the way? Okay. They're legendary. So
yes.
I don't know if you have lunch plans, but there is no restaurant in town that can replicate what we are about to experience.
If you have something in the crock pot, leave it for supper.
It'll be there.
And come to Taco Feed.
Taco Feed, it's awesome.
It's epic.
Yeah.
It's tacos cooked in hot oil. I mean,
yeah.
What more could you want?
It's amazing.
What more could you want?
And just so we know, we're not just giving this out for free. We're not a...
Yeah, we're asking for donations for the Taco Feed. So the majority, well, what we raise here today goes to offset the bus that we rent to go to camp. And it's very nice to be able to take a bus that we can all fit in together. And we have a very large group. And so
how many kids do you think are going to have at camp?
I haven't talked with Pam about the numbers, but counting adults that we'll take, I'm sure we'll be close to 50, probably over 50.
Yeah.
And so we take a lot of people. And so taking a bus up there is an expense that if we don't have this, then that cost gets passed on to the students. And it makes their cost even more than what it already is for camp. And so it's a huge blessing to be able to have the generosity that happens today from the Taco Feed.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you look at the youth ministry during COVID.
Yeah.
We had to go through a real process where we had so many people, because of legitimate health reasons, decided, I'm not sure if it's a good idea for me to wipe snotty noses in the nursery. We were short-staffed in our children's ministry quite a bit.
Right.
And the youth ministry really rescued our children's program. They all stepped up. They were doing a lot of work on Sunday morning. They were helping us pull off Tuesday morning Bible studies.
Yeah.
You know, so this is not a youth group where they just want to have you, you know, pay for their video games and pay for their camp and pay for their youth pastors so that they could ignore adults and just kind of have their own youth church.
Right. And they've stayed in those ministries.
Yeah, they have.
This wasn't just like a 6-week commitment. They've stayed in there.
Yeah, and I think that kind of points to just kind of the larger vision of the youth ministry that we have, right?
Right.
I mean, so maybe you can kind of just break down, what is your vision for? Because normally when people think about a youth ministry, you know, what are some of the...
Yeah, I think every church has their own emphasis that they have. And some churches, it's not necessarily bad. Like some churches, their emphasis is purely evangelistic.
Yeah.
It's just getting the kids to come to know Christ. And a lot of that's based on where they're at and the church is located a lot of times.
Yeah.
Some churches, it's, you know, let's just, if we can get these kids to read their Bible, that's a victory. Just be serious for 30 minutes, you know, kind of thing. But what we're trying to do here, we don't ignore evangelism. We value evangelism, but I think what our church does well as a whole is our church does really well at discipleship and making disciple makers, and we're trying to replicate that in the youth ministry as well.
Yeah.
If I was to think of a few texts that kind of guide that, Colossians 1:28-29 says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all of his energy that he powerfully works in me."
Mm-hmm.
So we're proclaiming Christ. So like I see it breaking down to two ways. This is an equipping ground for these students. And we do that by proclaiming Christ. We're trying to equip their minds. We go deep in the lessons. We teach them theology. We're teaching them how to study the Bible for themselves.
Yeah.
We don't really, when I'm preparing for lessons, I wouldn't treat it much differently than if I was to teach an adult Sunday school class or for a sermon. It's about the same. And so we expect a lot out of them, and they rise to the occasion. And then So we equip Christ and we warn them and we teach them. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to present them mature in Christ.
Yeah.
The goal is to get them all the way to the finish line. And
yeah.
So we want to do our part while they're those few years that we're there with us. And really what's cool is like I have a vision. This is equipping more than just our church. I mean, mm-hmm. we're training husbands and wives and Sunday school teachers and missionaries and possibly pastors
yeah.
and counselors. And I want these students to be leaders in the college ministries that they go to when they go to college. And
yeah.
so we're not just equipping kids for this church, but we're equipping other churches and other ministries as well.
Yeah.
And that starts with how the foundation that they're forming in these teen years when they're deciding what's the values that I'm going to have, what am
yeah.
I going to believe, that starts there. And if I, if yeah. I was to, how's that worked out? Titus 2 gives us a great way that that gets worked out. It's older men to younger men,
mm-hmm.
older women to younger women. That's how it gets worked out. And so that's what we try and do. And the way that that gets worked out, a verse that's been kind of guiding, I think, the staff this year is 1 Thessalonians 4, 4, 4. Nope, 2, 4. 2, 8. Excuse me.
Factors of two.
Factors of two. We got there.
Yep.
Paul says, and he's talking to the church of Thessalonica, and this, he kind of expresses his heart to them in verse 8. He says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God,
mm-hmm.
but also our own selves," or you could say our own souls, our own lives,
uh-huh.
"because you had become very dear to us." And mm-hmm. so that's why like the staff is so crucial in this, because it's not just taking 2 hours for Jesus, is that they actually have a deep desire and affection to see these students
yeah.
mature in Christ. And that's what we're trying to do on the various things that we're doing throughout the week. And we kind of have a purpose and intention
yeah.
for each of those things that we're doing.
Yeah, maybe you can kind of flesh out, what do you do on a weekend? Yeah, what's the typical youth group week?
Yeah. Lake was falling asleep.
Yeah.
So just starting at the beginning of the week, Sunday, we have Sunday school class,
mm-hmm.
and typically that's an equipping time for the students. A lot of our core students are obviously there on Sunday mornings, and so usually we're going through a book of the Bible or we're going through some theology
mm-hmm.
and trying to relate that to their life, and so we go pretty deep
mm-hmm.
on Sunday mornings. Monday night is something that started up this year, and I have to say, I can't take credit for any of it. It
mm-hmm.
wasn't my idea at all. It was totally thought up and worked out and is worked out right now by the staff
mm-hmm.
and the staff volunteers. And what Monday night is being intentional with that discipleship mentality. And so the students come to the Brazzles house, they eat supper. We have some awesome parents that are providing supper. And so the parents are involved in this too. And they come, they fellowship. A lot of the students live in different towns, so they get to see each other and fellowship
mm-hmm.
with each other. And then they split up into guys and girls and study the scriptures for themselves. And so really what's different about that is that it's not just one of the adults telling them what to believe, but we are equipping them and training them to study the scriptures throughout the week themselves.
Yeah.
And then they come back together and they're discussing what the scriptures say themselves.
What are they going through right now?
So they went through Ephesians first. Now they're going through Philippians, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, Heather and Joe? They're going through Philippians right now.
Uh-huh.
And not only that, but we've started to identify some of the mature students showing some leadership ability, and now they're being equipped to lead those discussion groups themselves.
Wow.
And so they're starting to take total ownership of the Monday night study themselves. And
yeah.
so we're trying to replicate ourselves. We want to make disciple-making disciple makers,
mm-hmm.
right? We want to be disciple-making, however you say that. You know what I'm trying
yeah,
to say.
Yeah, yeah.
We're trying to replicate ourselves,
yeah.
you know, part of that grammar stuff I'm learning.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, so you have that, and then Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, we meet together. That's like a normal youth group night. We have games, and really we're kind of intentional with the game time. We like to have fun. It's okay to have fun. These students are excited about life, and so we want to use that. And we
mm-hmm.
really use games as a way to connect students together and to have them do things that they don't normally do. So sometimes we'll play really competitive games. And the less competitive, more introverted, are learning to love their more competitive brothers and sisters
yes.
and provide a body on the field so that we can play those games. And then some nights we're doing games that aren't as competitive, or they're more silly, or they're board games. And the super competitive ones are learning to die to themselves and do something different than they normally would want to do for the good of their maybe more introverted brothers and sisters.
Uh-huh.
We have a sing time. We have a praise band that we've put together with a couple students. And so we sing some songs. And then I'll teach a lesson. And right now, we're going through the book of James. We just got done with the relationship series, which we spent the whole year on looking at what the scriptures say about different kinds of relationships. And now we're going through the book of James, which is super applicable, super practical.
Yeah,
and
it's awesome.
Yeah. And then we have small, we'll split up into small groups afterwards, and kind of based on age group. And we'll discuss the lesson, try and connect it to their lives. And that's and they'll have prayer time as well. And so we really are trying to get the students with each other and with the different staff people. So it's really not me running the show. It's really... It's really done well by all the staff who've really taken involvement in the youth ministry.
Yeah. So maybe can you help us understand what are some of the major challenges for today's youth? And I thought we talked about this morning.
Yeah.
I came across a survey where kids were asked, do you have persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness?
Yeah.
And these are the numbers of kids who are asked that question, okay? Persistent feelings of sadness and hopelessness. 2009, 27% said yes. 2019, 37% said yes. Then 2021, 44% of youth polled say, I have persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I was to kind of diagnose that, I'd say, like, and this is going to sound cliche, but there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
Students, I think for all of time, are always struggling with who am I and why am I here? Like, it's identity and purpose. Who am I? What am I supposed to be? Where am I going? Those kind of questions. And, you know, maybe when you were in high school or when I was in high school, it was more like, what am I going to be? Am I going to be a lawyer or a carpenter? Am I going to adopt these values of my parents or not?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I going to be? And now students are getting challenged to the very basic level of what is gender, right? What is a man or a woman? Is homosexuality really as big a deal as what the older people in church seem to make it out to be?
Yeah.
Like, it's gotten down. We never had to struggle with those things.
Yeah.
And now those challenges and those questions of identity and purpose are coming down to the base level of our DNA.
Yeah.
And so when it gets down to that level, you don't know what's up or what's down. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that statistic of hopelessness and anxiety is shooting up through the roof.
Yeah, another thing we talked about is just what has the smartphone done to this generation?
Yeah, there's thousands of voices that are vying for their attention,
telling
them who they should be. Every TikTok video they open up, every YouTube influencer they follow is telling them who they should be.
Yeah.
It's not just movies and commercials, even though it's that too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's every time they open or swipe on their smartphone, there's somebody who's telling them who they should be.
Yeah, I remember when I moved here, when I would drive down 6th Street on Friday night, the parking lot of Brahms and Sonic were overflowing.
Yeah.
But now they're not there.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is a lot of these kids, they've traded an actual face-to-face community for a community through the smartphone.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you get bullied, it used to be you can just leave it at school.
Right.
But now it follows you home.
Yeah.
And one thing about our youth group that I really enjoy is it's almost like a throwback. Like, these kids, like, even when you don't plan youth events, they're planning on getting together.
Yeah. They'll do it regardless, whether I put something together or not.
And so I think one thing that you've kind of leveraged is like game nights, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we do game nights. We've tried to do a game night every once a month about, and it's usually on a Friday night so we can have this room, and we'll just have fun and play games. We'll ask a student or a staff person to share their testimony.
Yeah.
The students know that it's a great opportunity to invite their friends and people from the community.
And last time, right, there were.
And we had at least 10 new students who had never been here before. And so that was really, really cool to see. They're getting, and a lot of them don't even have a church background. So they don't even, like, it's all weird. They have no idea what any of this stuff is. They don't have a frame of reference. I had one student I talked to afterwards. I was sharing the gospel with him. I said, you know, do you have a Bible? I mean, they always have a Bible. He said, no. He's like, Bible. He had, like, he had no Bible in his house.
Wow.
No, nothing. So I, like, ran up to the youth lounge, grabbed a Bible, gave it to him. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, that's kind of what we're dealing with students that are coming in from the outside.
Yeah, and you look at, like, even getting into Emporia High School.
Yeah.
I mean, have you had any, like, you're friends with other youth pastors.
Yeah, I've been talking with some of the other youth pastors in the area, and I'm like, so, okay, so what's your strategy for getting into the high school, and how are you connecting with some of these students? And they're all going, good luck. We've tried. It's really hard.
Yeah.
They have, like, super short lunches. They can only have so many clubs. It's really, really difficult to get into Emporia High.
Yeah.
And so it's very challenging. You can't just go, you know, they don't have long lunch breaks. You can't just go, you can't just walk in unannounced and have lunch with a kid anymore. It's quite a process you have to go through.
Yeah.
And so it just poses a lot of challenges. And so finding ways to get students to come here is really beneficial and really helpful.
Yeah.
Because, one, they're getting something to do that they don't normally get to do, and they're getting introduced to a church community, which they have no context for.
Yep.
And so that's been really cool to see.
Yeah, so it kind of has forced us to be creative. But, I mean, the need at the high school, I mean, it's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you see that. Like, I was looking in the paper the other day. I think, what's the counseling center that's...
Crosswinds.
Crosswinds. I mean, they just bought another building.
Yeah.
They already have, like, 3 or 4. And, I mean, a lot of the people that are going through there are teenagers.
Yeah.
So I think that just speaks to the fact of, like, the issues and the problems that these students are going through. They're a wide ranging.
Like, there's a surprising number of transgender students at the high school.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the harvest is plentiful, right? So when you kind of look at our youth group, I mean, what are some strengths and weaknesses that you see?
Well, kind of going along with our vision of discipleship, like, we have a really strong foundation for these students to grow in the knowledge of the scriptures, and then we're also pushing them to put that into practice themselves, which I think is fairly unique to most youth groups. Mm-hmm. We're not satisfied with just them understanding the truth. It's like, okay, now you have to do it yourself on Wednesday night, you know, with that student. Go, you know, kind of.
So, yeah, walk me through.
We just went through relationships, and one of the things that we focused on was friendships.
Okay.
And I think that was really, really beneficial for a lot of the students, of understanding that my friendship is not just the person that gives me everything that I like.
Yeah.
But friendship based on the gospel is seeing a need and meeting a need with another person.
Yeah.
Whether that we're super close or not. And so they've really latched onto that, and it's been really cool to see. And so that's a strength to have with these students who are really desiring to know what they believe.
Yeah.
It's an awesome opportunity to be able to equip them for the future. If I was to say what a weakness is, and this is kind of the natural weakness of that, is when you and I think probably our church as well, when you have a strong church that's committed to sound doctrine and good theology, is the temptation can be that we become a museum for the truth and not a hospital for the broken, right? Mm-hmm. And so we become where we like that truth, we appreciate that truth, we love that truth, and then we go home and don't do anything about it, right? And so the challenge then is for some of these students to be able to check all these boxes, but if they're not actually putting it into place themselves, then is there a real fruit there in their life? And so that can be a weakness of the youth ministry.
Yeah. So here's another question, kind of pivoting to parents. And I do appreciate how you really try to work with parents, by the way. But what do you wish every high school, you know, Christian high school parent knew?
So it has two parts.
Okay.
I would say just know and realize that your students are capable of more than you realize.
Okay.
And there's a negative and a positive to that.
Okay.
So, one, they're capable of more wickedness than you may realize.
Well.
they're capable of doing and saying and looking at things that you didn't think were possible.
Yeah.
And I've seen it happen time and time again.
Yeah, especially when kids know way more about technology than the parents.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so that's something that you always have to be like hypercritical, and you have to always be second guessing your kid.
Yeah.
But don't think that it's not possible. I mean, we look at King David. Mm-hmm. Who'd have thought? You know, King David was the man after God's own heart. Surely, mm-hmm. really, King David took another man's wife mm-hmm. and murdered that husband? How's that possible?
Yeah.
You know, so my child? Really? Like, it's possible.
Yeah.
So maybe it won't happen, but it's possible. Now, the positive of that, I would say, then, is that your child or your teen is capable of handling more than maybe you give them credit for or more than you mm-hmm. realize. Like, they're doing calculus in high school, you know? They can learn and know theology. They can have deep conversations. You know, just because they communicate with each other with emojis doesn't mm-hmm. mean that they can't, you know? And you think like, oh, you know, I think the temptation for older generations to always be bashing the younger generation, I think we do a disservice to that.
Yeah.
And so with your teens and with your students, don't let them off the hook of having deep conversations with them. They can actually comprehend quite a bit. And just because the maturity isn't there and they don't always connect the dots doesn't mean that they don't try to think deeply about things.
Yeah.
And so you can have meaningful interaction with your students. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait till they're an adult. And your student wants to have a relationship with you. They do. Whether they show it or not,
yep.
they want to have a relationship with their parents. And they appreciate parents who do the work and put time and effort into them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So kind of in light of that, we have an event coming up in a couple weeks. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we need to talk about that. So April 22nd and 23rd, we're having a purity conference.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave's going to play a big part in that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to teach a lesson. We're going to have one of our staff ladies do a lesson for the girls. And we're going to have a Friday night and a Saturday morning really emphasizing the value of purity and how God views purity.
Yeah.
And I think that's, if we get down to the nuts and bolts of where so many problems happen in today, it comes down to the issue of purity.
Yeah, and now what's the official title? It's Reclaiming.
It's Reclaiming Purity. That's right. Reclaiming Purity, how God sees and views purity.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a Friday night, April 22nd and 23rd, and we want the parents there too. So this is for your sons and your daughters and for you. We're going to have a breakout session for parents as well. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be super applicable. Saturday morning, we're going to have just kind of an open discussion about some wisdom in dating. So like kind of so being pure in our relationships, how do we keep that going mm-hmm. when the time for romance is there, right? So we're going to be talking about some wisdom for that.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. We talked about reclaiming purity because purity's kind of been a punching bag in our culture.
Yeah, yeah. The people like to dump on purity culture.
And how they're just traumatized. And a lot of it are whiny ex-evangelical Christians who didn't like what God's word said.
Yeah.
And
who
wrote certain books that they made
that
millions
anyway.
On and then repudiate and tried to sell other books to sell more millions.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
And I think this is something where, you know, there has been, I think in the last 5 years, an increasing cynicism towards the evangelical church.
Yeah.
Right? We were talking about that.
Yeah, I think, that probably goes back to some of the challenges that these students have, is for the first time in our culture, Christians are viewed as the bad guy.
Yeah.
Not the hypocrite, not the holier-than-thou, not the hoity-toity person, but like the bad guy.
Yeah.
And that's a hard challenge. And that attack is, part of that attack is our stance on purity.
Yeah.
And our blatant, unmovable stand against the culture. And they can't handle it.
Yeah.
And there's constant pressure to give in.
Mm-hmm.
In all sorts of ways.
Yep.
All sorts of ways. Not just the two or three that maybe were a problem when you were a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
There's many ways now that they're getting They're mm-hmm. trying to get access. Access is trying to get to them, and they're trying to get access to other things.
Yeah, and I think in my experience, too, like, what is the point of attack? Like, a lot of times you think, well, they need to know that the Bible can answer your science questions, or they need to know about the historicity of the resurrection, yeah. or they need to know proof of the existence of God.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it is what really pulls people away fundamentally is capitulation to the sexual norms of this culture.
Absolutely.
Right? So purity culture is, I mean, and even, you know, even in the Bible, consistently we're told to flee sexual morality, not fight it.
Yes.
Right? You don't try to get, you know, immorality antibodies by, if I'm around, you know, the sensuous environment and I right. come out, I'll actually have better immunity.
Right, yeah. Just trying to understand the culture and
yeah,
like, yeah, that doesn't
but,
work.
But there is a real, genuine power and almost worship of it, where yeah. People have replaced your identity as of who you are before God, or who you are as far as being part of a family or even a country, with who you are as far as how you view yourself sexually.
Absolutely, yeah, and that gets right at the identity crisis that our culture is having.
Yeah, and so that's why we want to just really kind of do a reset, kind of establish a culture with
absolutely.
It.
And we want to start the conversation between you and your teens.
Yeah.
And so, like, we, I'll just say this, and just in case it's not clear, like, we don't want to take the place of you as a parent. We want to
yeah.
support you, and we want to come alongside you any way that we can. And mm-hmm. as I will never have the influence over your teen like you will, whether yeah. whether you think that or not.
Yeah.
And so you, it's that's the truth. And so you yeah. being able to have these conversations and with your student is super crucial. And all yeah. we're trying to do is just get that conversation started.
Yeah, I've been reading some information about, you know, which kids continue to walk in the faith mm-hmm. and which ones don't. And some of them, you know, they have not only Christian parents, but Christian parents who are involved in their lives. They will have like a family devotion or something like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are serving in the church, and a lot of them have like an adult non-family member who has a real interest in their spiritual life.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I am super thankful for the youth ministry, mm-hmm. you know, as a parent of four teenagers myself, and just the interest that you've taken in their lives. And
yeah.
And it is a strategic ministry because it is the next generation.
It is. Yeah, it's super crucial. And part of the hard thing with youth ministry is that you don't get to see a lot of the real fruit.
Yeah.
You know, that happens and when they get into college ministry, you know, hopefully we're benefiting many college
yeah.
ministries. And when they're in young adults, you really see the fruit of that when they have to take ownership of
yeah.
their own lives themselves. And so you don't see a whole lot of fruit. But at the same time, it's super crucial because they're
yeah.
formulating these worldviews right now.
Yeah. Yeah, so I say all this because youth ministry is not JV ministry.
No.
Right? It is a strategic, important part, you know, of the church. And, you know, some of the things that we're going to be changing May 1st is you're no longer going to be youth director, Nate. You will be pastor, Nate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so something that you guys might ask, well, why not elder? Mm-hmm. Right? And, yeah. And kind of just thinking about it, when we look at, like when I first came here to Flint Hills Bible Church, I wasn't made an elder until 2.5 years later. Mm. And I think part of the reason why we do that is the culture of eldering and kind of what we see in scriptures is that when somebody becomes an elder, it's really a recognition that they're doing what they're already doing.
Right.
And, you know, there's different ways that you can really lead. You can lead from the perspective of formal authority. Right? I'm in charge. I'm the mm-hmm. pastor. You need to do what I say because God tells you to obey me. Or you can lead by informal authority, mm-hmm. where you don't have to tell somebody. You know, they already respect you. Yeah, they've heard your teaching. They've been blessed. They know that you are the real deal.
Yeah.
That's kind of the informal authority. And so when we give somebody the title of elder, it's when that informal authority matches the formal authority,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it kind of certifies it. But we still want you to be a pastor because we still want people to respect you. So
right.
maybe we're not getting it right, but I mean, that's kind of the thought process.
Yeah.
And so you're going to be Pastor Nate and then give it a year, you know, just see how things go, see how
yeah.
you handle, you know, that formal title.
Sure.
And then we can have a discussion after that too. So that's just to kind of clarify for you guys where we are on
absolutely.
That topic. So maybe a last question. What's a way we can just pray for you and the youth ministry?
We have Ascend coming up.
Okay.
And that's always a really crucial part for a lot of students.
Uh-huh.
For whatever reason, getting away from everybody for a week really brings a lot of things into perspective.
Yep.
And so you can be praying for our students during that week that the Lord would be faithful to them and would they would really grow and make good decisions about their future coming up. As far as for me and for Allison, it's a struggle being, if I'm to be honest, it's a struggle being as far away as we are.
Okay.
And so you can just pray that we would be able to have joy in what we're doing, even when it's not very fun.
Okay.
When we're tired or stressed or the kids are sick or something like that. The distance just adds on to that.
Okay.
And so you can just pray that we would have just have joy still during those times. And I think we'd like to move closer.
Okay.
We pray for that the Lord would provide opportunities for that and would make that make that evident.
Okay.
And so
well, thank you, Nate.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you and
what
your just love of the kids, love of the Lord and just your influence.
Appreciate it.
And just so you guys know, feel free to talk to him.
Yeah.
He'll be around for the taco feed. If you have more questions about youth, he's just a great resource. He really understands kids, how kids work. But let me go ahead and pray, and then we'll take our little break, get ready for the worship service. Well, Father, we are just so grateful for the work that you've done in Nate's life, how you've brought him to this church, how you have called him into ministry, and just how he has really grown and developed. And I thank you for his heart for the kids. And let me just think about some of the opportunities that you've given them, especially Ascend Camp. That's just a highlight of their year. There is just something about being in an environment where they're away from their phones, away from their environment, away from distractions, where they can really listen to the word and process it with adults who love them. And we pray that this will be an especially fruitful camp, that many of the kids, you know, some of the sin will come to light. They'll be forced to deal with it. Many souls will finally be saved, that they will just understand what it means to walk with you. And I pray for Nate and Allie as they kind of move forward, as they think about their living situation. Lord, if it's your will for them to move closer, that you'll provide a wonderful opportunity for them to do so. But in the meantime, help them to be content and take joy in some of the graces that you have given them, whether it be time to reflect on the road or even just the spacious house that they enjoy in Matfield Green. But we do pray ultimately for your will to be done in that arena. We just pray for just the coming worship service. That'll be a wonderful time of fellowship and joy and celebration of what you've done. In Christ's name, amen.